Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly the films Nosferatu, The Piano Lesson, and The Room Next Door.
I'd like to start off talking about a horror movie. Yes, they are still coming out, a lot of them. It's a very popular genre nowadays. And it kind of interests me that the Christmas and New Year season has brought a couple of movies which are not exactly festive in their tone. One of them is Nosferatu. This is the new movie by Robert Eggers, and he is something of a horror movie specialist. He made about 10 years ago, a movie called The Witch, which I think is one of his very best. And then not too long after that, a few years after that, he made The Lighthouse, which is a very sort of odd, isolated kind of horror movie, which I like quite a lot, especially after seeing it more than once. And he's done some other stuff, which I'm not so crazy about. I think Nosferatu is a very, very well-made movie. I can't say that it's all that exciting because it's not very original. Now, people who have never encountered Nosferatu before might find this a very original film and a very surprising film in a lot of ways. But my gosh, I've been down the Nosferatu trail a number of times over the years. And the only real problem with the Robert Eggers version is that it doesn't really bring very much that's new to the story, although it is, again, very, very well crafted. So the very first movie called Nosferatu, the full title was Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror, was made way, way back in 1922 by the very, very great German filmmaker F.W. Murnau. And this is a total classic, and I'm sure people can find it streaming all over the place. I could not recommend it more. Yes, it's a silent movie, but it's one of the greatest horror movies ever made. Now, interestingly, this original Nosferatu back in 1922 was based directly on the great novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. However, F.W. Murnau, the filmmaker, could not get the rights to Dracula, to the novel, to make a movie out of it. So he just did something rather clever, he and his production associates. They simply changed the name of the main character and used the basic story, but never said anything about Dracula specifically. And they got away with it. And the movie, again, is still very much around, and it's still a very great classic of the silent era of filmmaking, and I would say of any era of filmmaking. So basically, Nosferatu is the story of Dracula. Then Werner Herzog, another very great German filmmaker, made his own version of it back in 1979. So this is a movie that sort of keeps coming around in various ways. The new version is, as I have said already, very, very well crafted. It's beautifully photographed. It has these gothic visuals. Things are dark and things are scary and things are ominous and all of that sort of thing. I really can't fault it on that score. It's a beautifully, beautifully, beautifully made movie. It's also a very well acted movie. Bill Skarsgård plays the vampire character whose name is Count Orlok. They're still not using the name Dracula in this particular story. Lily Rose Depp is very good as a victim in the story. Nicholas Holt is very good as another person who's involved in all of this, the horrible vampire. Simon McBurney is very good as a character named Canuck, who is a more of a minor character, but a very diverting and interesting character in the thing. And Willem Dafoe shows up eventually, and he just seems to always be in this sort of movie, and he was very, very very much in that earlier Robert Eggers movie that I mentioned, The Lighthouse. He's very, very good in this. He plays the guy who comes in fairly late in the story, but the one who is finally going to be know enough to be able to conquer the vampire. So this is the Dracula story, and we have people who are possessed by the horrible spell of the vampire, and we have, as in earlier movies of Nosferatu, he has to travel across the sea in a ship, and the other members of the crew and so forth all disappear one by one and are vampirized, but he arrives in the big city at last and goes about his horrible, evil business. And he has this young woman who he's been grooming to take over from him when he decides to retire. Although being a vampire, he will never die. And so he wants to have her under his spell. And it has all that sort of thing in it. So I really do like horror movies, you know, when they're good. I really like vampire movies when they're good. I really like Dracula movies when they're good, and they sometimes are. So again, Robert Eggers is a very, very capable filmmaker, really, really knows what he's doing, especially in the horror movie vein. Here he has this really fine cast with, again, Lily Rose Depp and Nicholas Hoult and Willem Dafoe and Bill Skarsgård. And Bill Skarsgård is very menacing, as he has to be, and all of that. And we have these dark, gloomy, ominous, scary gothic visuals. But the movie never really took me by surprise or made me feel really chilled. A little bit chilled, maybe, but not really chilled. So, people who like Robert Eggers movies, people who like horror movies, people who like vampire movies, people who like Dracula movies are going to flock to Nosferatu. I'm sure they already are. And we'll have a good time at it. It's a very well done movie. I only wish that it brought something a little bit more original, a little more surprising to the tale. It's an old story. A lot of people are familiar with the basic Dracula myth by now. And I just wish that Robert Eggers had brought more than technical expertise, had brought some more real sort of insight, maybe is the word, into the story. So Nosferatu, a good vampire movie. The Piano Lesson is the next movie I would like to talk about. And oh, this is such a change of pace. This is a movie directed by, yes, another member of the fabulous Washington family. Denzel Washington is the most famous member of the Washington family. He is not involved directly in this movie, The Piano Lesson. But his son, Malcolm Washington, directed it and co-wrote the screenplay. And his other son, John David Washington, who is an excellent actor, plays one of the leading roles. And I will mention right at the get-go here that The Piano Lesson is a beautifully acted movie. We have John David Washington playing a character named Boy Willie. We have the great Samuel L. Jackson playing the old guy in the story, one of the old guys in the story, a guy named Doker. Danielle Deadwyler is very, very wonderful as the main woman in the story, and a few other people playing somewhat smaller roles. It's a beautifully acted movie, and I also have to say it is a beautifully photographed movie. This film looks so exquisite from start to finish. So, The Piano Lesson is based on a play by the very great playwright August Wilson. And it is about a family in the South. And the whole thing begins way back in the very early 20th century, back in 1911, when we have a young black man who steals a piano from a white family who back in the days of slavery, owned this family, whose last name is Charles. Some of the young Charles members of the family steal this piano from the white family, and they take it to their home. Now, this is a beautiful, gorgeous, fabulous piano, which is carved with the faces of African ancestors of the Charles family. It represents, in other words, their own family. It is the history of their family carved into the wood of this gorgeous piano. So there it is. Now we are up now into the 1930s, which is when the main part of the story takes place. And we have a family argument going on because a young member of the family shows up and he wants to sell the piano to raise a whole lot of money so that he can buy the farmland in Mississippi where earlier members of his family were slaves and make this land into a symbol of the liberation of his family and of all black people from the horrors of slavery. However, the woman of the family, who has the piano now, absolutely will not sell the piano. She will not allow her son to sell it. She will not allow anybody to sell it because she regards it as a symbol of her family's togetherness, of her family's unity, of her family's success in being a family now in the 1930s. And she wants to keep this piano around. Now, this movie is based on a play. And I will say that a whole lot of it takes place in the home of the Charles family, in Bernice's home. And so we do have that problem that you sometimes have with movies that are based on plays. Yes, the story is opened up somewhat We do get outside the house. We have flashbacks and that sort of thing. But a lot of the movie does take place in this house and in one or two rooms of this house. However, it is so beautifully photographed and the camera work is so beautifully choreographed that I never felt claustrophobic. I never felt that this movie, oh, it's one of these films that is just stuck in one place. I always found it alive to look at. It's a beautiful looking film. It's an exciting looking film, even though most of it takes place in one particular location. The acting is also simply terrific, and the drama is very powerful as we have different arguments. Yes, we must sell this piano to raise money to acquire land so that we can have an upwardly mobile family. No, we can't sell this piano because it is a part of our family and it represents our family, and these magnificent carvings in it are the faces of our ancestors. We've got to keep this piano. So it's a very, very interesting and I think resonant argument about the old and the new and change and remaining the same, and the different arguments that weigh in different directions. And everybody seems to have an excellent case to make. It's not one of these things where we in the audience can say, oh, that character's right, that character's wrong. No. It's much more subtle than that and much more beautifully done than that. I think the movie runs into real problems near the very end. Because then we have a supernatural element that comes in, a ghost of a member of that white family from whom the piano was stolen way back in the early 20th century shows up in the house, and we then have some, it just adds some complications to the story, and I don't think it works very well. That aside, The Piano Lesson is an excellent movie, gorgeously photographed, beautifully acted, and well, I was just entranced by it from beginning to end. It's a Netflix movie, so it's not hard to find. I really recommend The Piano Lesson, and I think Malcolm Washington is a filmmaker with a future. Finally, The Room Next Door. Once again, why somebody wants to release a movie which is all about death and dying in the Christmas and New Year season is always a little bit mysterious to me. But this is a very, very good movie. It is directed by the very, very great Spanish filmmaker, surely the greatest filmmaker in Spain today, Pedro Almodóvar. But this is his first English language movie, so it has real news value there. And it stars a couple of very great English-speaking stars, Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton. They are both fabulous. They are two of the best actors that we have of any gender. And, well, they are just terrific, and I just love them both. So The Room Next Door is about a room next door, but it's also very much about these two women. Their names are Martha and Ingrid, and they're both writers. They knew each other from many years ago when they both were working for the same magazine. Now they've gone in different directions while remaining writers. Martha writes very, very personal fiction, and Ingrid is a war correspondent. However, what the movie is all about is the fact that one of these two women is now facing cancer. In fact, she's had cancer for a while, and she's been trying to beat this cancer, to overcome it. She's had chemotherapy, she's had this, she's had that. She keeps having hope that the cancer is going to be conquered, but it just never seems to get conquered. And now she is getting tired of the fight, and she's starting to think, maybe her life should just be over. So on the dark web, she has bought one of these things that you can take that will kill you. And she is very seriously thinking about simply dying and peacefully meeting her end and ending this long struggle against this horrible disease. She then gets in touch with her friend Ingrid and says, I really don't want to be alone. I'm not even sure yet that I'm going to do this. I have the stuff I need. It's there. I've got it stored away. I'm not even sure I'm going to use it. But if I decide to, I just want somebody I know and respect and love to be nearby. So they go off to this house in the Catskills and they stay there. And Martha says to Ingrid, please just be in the room next door if I do decide to do this. They have separate rooms in the house, but they decide they will leave their doors open at night. And Martha says to Ingrid, if you ever see that my door is closed, that means that I've done it. So this movie has a bit of suspense in it because we don't really know how it will come out. It's obviously a very poignant story, but, you know, it has some real humor in it, too, along the way, especially when an old boyfriend shows up, played by the wonderful John Turturro. He used to be the boyfriend of both of these women separately, and they all know about this, and he shows up, he's a lawyer now, and he's got to talk to them about the legal ramifications of all this sort of thing. So, I don't think that The Room Next Door is one of Pedro Almodovar's all-time greatest films. However, it's a wonderful film. Again, I found it very sweet, very touching, and I personally find this whole story about the right to have a painless death when you are really tired of life and disease is beating you down, I think that's a tremendously important topic that the arts have really got to explore, because it is a topic that is very much with us today, and I think it's a really, really important topic that deserves all the exploration that it can get from intelligent artists such as Pedro Almodovar, such as Julianne Moore, such as Tilda Swinton. They do a wonderful, compassionate job of dealing with this somewhat dark story, and I really salute it. So, The Room Next Door, a highly recommended movie. It may not be very Christmassy or New Year's-esque, but it's a very important movie, a very important story, and again, a beautifully acted story. So that is my somewhat cheerful, somewhat kind of dark story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Nosferatu, The Piano Lesson, and The Room Next Door.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.